It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Wolf Banesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter, and that's some
Colbert.
You know, the thought didn't even cross my mind until the Open began. This bed music in the Open, in case you don't know, it's Bad Boys for Life by Diddy, Sean Combs, Puff Daddy. And if you watch the news at all yesterday or today, you may have seen Diddy's in a little bit of hot water, put it lightly. And that's where he was flying his plane, was to hot water, apparently, because the feds, the FBI, and I'm sure some other alphabet soup agencies of the government, showed up and raided his homes in California and Florida yesterday. Some terrible alleged crimes having taken place. And if you've heard any of the other allegations that have been made by people in Hollywood about him lately, boy. I mean, and if you haven't and you go looking for it, let me just tell you, like, prepare to have your socks knocked off. Like, it's some crazy, crazy stuff. And so I'm just sitting here and I'm man, everything's going great. I got everything prepared for the show. Very confident that we're going to have a good one today. And then the music hits and I'm like, oh, yeah. I use a Diddy song for the opening bed music for the show. Should I consider changing this? Who knows? You know, never meet your heroes. That's what they say. Although I would never say Diddy was a hero. He just happened to make some, you know, good music from time to time. Although I would say it had been quite some time since he had made anything that came anywhere close to the Bad Boys for Life song. But nonetheless, yeah, this is a sports show, I promise you. Welcome in, Colbert, with you on a Tuesday. Getting a late start to the week because we had our dress rehearsal yesterday. Cubs spring training, not the finale, that was today, but the one before the finale. Yesterday, we were able to, with our great partners, the Cubs Radio Network, they put about two or three spring training games on the air each year. And we're usually able to get one or two of them on, and it gives us a good opportunity to make sure that everything still works as it should. And everything did work as it should yesterday. So we can head into Thursday night's season opener in Texas against the Rangers, the defending World Series champions, no less. Feeling pretty good, at least as far as my concerns go. But and you know what? While I'm talking about it, a quick note on that. So we got an interesting or a unique situation for Thursday, because typically the Cubs would play during the day on opening day, but they're not. They're playing against the defending World Series champions, the Texas Rangers at Texas. They're gonna they're gonna get their rings and that whole thing. And I know it's gonna be nationally televised, so it's a 6 o'clock pregame here on the Fan and a 6:35 first pitch. Now, even with the pitch clock, you're not going to be able to get that Cubs-Rangers game over by 8 o'clock. That is when pregame coverage begins for Iowa State men's basketball in the Sweet 16 against Illinois. So typically what I would do is just flex the Cubs over to Cruisin', KCFI, 1250 AM, 105.1 FM, you know, Cruisin', and then just, you know, have you wait until Iowa State begins at 8. But what I'm going to do, because it is opening day or opening night in this matter, manner for the Cubs, is we're going to have the Cubs here on the Fan from 6 until 8. We'll also have the entirety of this Cubs broadcast over on Cruisin' KCFI on Thursday night. So if you're all in on the Cubs, and maybe you're here, but you're not much of a hooper or just not an Iowa State fan, all right, you'll be able to hear the Cubs here on the Fan from 6 until 8. Then we'll go to coverage of the Iowa State Sweet 16 game against Illinois at 8 o'clock, and the Cubs will be available for the rest of their opening day, opening night game over on KCFI. So I think that's about as succinct and descriptive at the same time as I can put it. So there you go, a little programming note, a little housekeeping here at the top of the show, along with trying to figure out whether or not I need to consider new open music for the show. If you have any thoughts, please email me or call. 319-277-1918 is the number. Save it in your phone. 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. However you are tuned in, I appreciate it very much. Your options are plentiful. 1650 AM, 102.3 FM on our mobile app, the 1650 The Fan app, your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you're following us on X, formerly Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X at Real Colbert. Like our Facebook page, type in 1650 The Fan on the Zuck Machine. You'll find us, hammer that like button, and you'll get more local and statewide sports content into that Facebook feed. And bookmark the website. That's where almost all of the local and statewide sports content originates from, 1650thefan.com. National sports content found there. The podcast of this show, other audio on demand, including today's Waterloo Blackhawks Minute. Programming information, we've got the update online of where things stand with 2024 Bracket Attack presented by Maximum Sight and Sound. So, if you haven't checked to see where things stand, and you're one of the lucky 32 qualifiers that got in, go to the website, 1650thefan.com. You'll see it right there on the homepage. Click in there. The bracket is updated. All right. You can also email the show. Email address. Cole at 1650thefan.com. Questions, comments, maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. By all means, don't be shy. I was in touch with Juan today a little bit, bouncing some emails back and forth. He had some hoop questions. And, you know, one thing, speaking of Juan's email, one thing that comes to mind, having not had a show yesterday, I was pretty surprised that Drake coach Darren DeVries took the West Virginia job. People I had spoke to thought he would want to stay in the Midwest. He was comfortable at Drake. I'd reported on the show that Darren signed a three-year extension with Drake before the Missouri Valley Conference men's basketball tournament. And you're probably going, well, Cole, is that true? Or were you wrong? No. And I know a lot of people out there know about this, know enough to know about this. But I'm sure Darren DeVries told Drake athletic director Brian Harden, I'm going to entertain offers. I will sign this extension, but I'm going to entertain offers if they should come my way. And if you're Drake AD Brian Harden, you go, I understand, Darren. You're a great coach. You're going to be sought after. I'm looking for you to help me help the athletic department financially if you were to leave. So I'm sure more than anything, it was, let's get the buyout language in your contract updated so we can make sure that we get a good windfall from whichever university may hire you. So that's just good work by an AD that's done a lot of really good work in Des Moines with Drake and Brian Harden. And got some audio from him coming up in the third segment of today's show about Coach DeVries' departure. So if you're a Drake fan at all, or you just can respect good work, that's what Brian Harden did. He was able to increase the amount that his athletic department was going to get should his highly sought-after men's basketball coach leave, and that's exactly what happened. Best case scenario, you keep your guy. But then again, maybe you could say that's not the best case scenario if you're Drake, you know, with the realities of the world. You're a mid-major program, and if your coach has an opportunity to go coach at a Power 5, that means you had hired a really good coach. Now it's your job to go hire the next really good coach. So just wanted to put that out there because that was something that Juan was asking about because he had listened to the show where I said that Darren had signed a contract extension with the Bulldogs. So we'll get to that audio coming up in the third segment of today's show. But in the second segment, after we get to area sports news and scores here in just a moment, we'll take the time out after area sports news and scores. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, and a forecast for the rest of this Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. We'll come back in the second segment. Iowa State men's basketball play-by-play voice John Walters will join us. Follow him on X at JW Cyclones TV. And we'll break it all down. Both wins. We haven't talked to John on the show since the round one win against South Dakota State or, of course, the round two win on Saturday night against Washington State. Iowa State impressive in a number of different ways in two different games in terms of how they played out. It just speaks to if you've listened to the show and heard the things that me and John have talked about when we analyzed TJ Otzelberger's team, it's just more proof at the most important time, right, of the year of the hows and the whys of the level of skill, talent, ability, how good this team is in Ames. And so we'll hear from John coming up in the next segment. After we're done there, we'll take a time out near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that break, come back on the other side in that third segment. And as I mentioned, audio from Drake AD Brian Harden. Also have audio from Lisa Bluter, Caitlin Clark on the big win last night over West Virginia, TJ Otzelberger, and if time permits, some audio from Cedar Falls High School girls soccer coach Alex Place. So that's what's on the ambitious agenda today, boys and girls. And after that third segment, of course, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up the show. All right, let's dig in here. Caitlin Clark scored 32 points as top-seeded Iowa survived one of its worst offensive performances of the season to beat 8th-seed West Virginia 64-54 last night in the second round of the NCAA Women's Tournament. The Hawkeyes advanced to play 5-seed Colorado in Saturday's Albany Regional Semifinal. Sydney Afalter's three-point play with just over 2 minutes to go proved to be huge. It was the Hawkeyes' lone field goal of the fourth quarter. It gave Iowa a 55-52 lead. Clark and Hannah Stolke closed the game with 9 free throws to clinch the win. Iowa came into the game leading the nation in scoring at 92.8 points per game. Hawks were held to their lowest single-game point total this season and shot just 36% from the field. Iowa State men's basketball coach TJ Otzelberger has been named a finalist for the Naismith College Coach of the Year. He's one of 4 finalists. Joining him, Dan Hurley from UConn, Lamont Paris from South Carolina, and Kelvin Sampson from Houston. In his third season at the helm, Otzelberger has led the Cyclones to a number 4 ranking, 29-7 record, and that includes winning the Big 12 Tournament Championship. For the second time in 3 years, Otzelberger has led the Cyclones to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA Tournament. He's the first coach in school history with multiple trips to the Sweet 16. The Iowa State men's basketball team has landed a commitment out of the transfer portal, 6'11" center Dyshawn Jackson out of Charlotte. Jackson joins the Cyclones after 1 season at Charlotte in 30 starts. He averaged 11 points, 6 rebounds, and nearly 1 block per game. He led Charlotte in field goal percentage and was the second leading rebounder and third leading scorer. He has 2 years of eligibility remaining. UNI's Parker Kekeisen has been named one of 5 finalists for the Dan Hodge Trophy. The Hodge Trophy is college wrestling's equivalent of the Heisman Trophy. The award is given to the nation's top wrestler. Kekeisen went 31-0 this past season and won the NCAA Division I 184-pound national title last weekend in Kansas City. Kekeisen is UNI's first Hodge Trophy finalist since the award's inception in 1995. The UNI softball team is underway at Illinois this afternoon. UNI taking on the Fighting Illini. Panthers 13-10 entering this game that began at 4 this afternoon. and the Fighting Illini, 12-15, entering today's game. The Iowa baseball team is in Normal, Illinois for a matchup with Illinois State tonight. This one started at the top of the hour. Hawkeyes 13-10 going into this game. Redbirds 11-11. The Waterloo Blackhawks' Jack Spicer has been named the USHL Goaltender of the Week. Spicer won a pair of games between the pipes for the Hawks over the weekend. The 19-year-old stopped 47 of 49 shots in the two wins. His win Sunday allowed Waterloo to close within 1 point of Sioux City for second place in the USHL Western Conference. And that, second place in the USHL Western Conference, as well as clinching a Clark Cup playoff bid. This season, Spicer is 13-11-1 with a 3.14 goals against average. The Iowa girls tennis coaches 2024 preseason rankings have been released. And in Class 2A, Cedar Falls is 10th. Meanwhile, in Class 1A, Waterloo Columbus Catholic is 3rd. The Iowa boys tennis coaches preseason rankings also have been released. Perry area schools appear. Cedar Falls, 7th in 2A, and in 1A, Waverly Shell Rock is 7th. Meanwhile, weather permitting, if anybody's got updates on whether any of this has been postponed or canceled, please pass it along. In boys track, Waterloo Columbus Catholic at the Vinton Shellsburg Invitational. In girls track, Cedar Falls competing at the Waukee Early Bird Invitational. In boys soccer, Waterloo Columbus at Hudson. Girls soccer, Waterloo Columbus hosting the Pirates. And in boys tennis, Waterloo Columbus hosting Grundy Center. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast. Come back on the other side, and the play-by-play voice of your Iowa State men's basketball team, John Walters, joins us next right here on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Byer.
Bunch of changes happening in the NFL, including with the kickoff rule, as a hybrid kickoff rule will be in place for the 2024 season. It will be similar to what the XFL previously used. Kickoffs will begin from the 35-yard line, but the rest of the team will be on the opposing 40-yard line, which is about 5 to 10 yards of the nine players from the opposing team. No fair catches are allowed, onside kicks only allowed in the fourth quarter, and play can only begin once the ball is caught or hits the ground in the landing zone, which is between the goal line and 20-yard line. The NFL will play two games on Christmas Day next season, even though it falls on a Wednesday. The NFL also announced the Week 1 game in Brazil featuring the Eagles will be exclusively streamed on Peacock, as will an NFL wildcard game appearing on Amazon. Steelers signed running back Cordarrelle Patterson. Cowboys will not adjust the contract of quarterback Dak Prescott, so he'll enter the final year of his contract in 2024. LeBron James out tonight for the Lakers against the Bucks.
We're not trying to be creepy, but wherever you go, we're right there with you on the 1650 The Fan app. You're listening to Cole & Company on The Fan. Broadcasting from the Circa Sports Studio.
The world's largest sports book is now available right at your fingertips in Iowa. Download your new bookie today with high betting limits, tight money splits, and exceptional customer service. The Circa Sports Iowa app. Visit CircaSports.com and get in on the action. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-238-7633.
Passionate professionals needed. The Waterloo Community School District wants you to join our team. We're hiring dedicated individuals to inspire young minds and shape tomorrow's leaders. Whether you're an experienced teacher, skilled support staff, or simply passionate about education, we have rewarding jobs waiting for you. We offer competitive salaries and benefits, including IPERS and single health and dental insurance provided at no cost. You don't have to be a teacher to enjoy the great working environment at Waterloo Schools. We are looking for paraeducators, coaches, substitute teachers, food service workers, custodians, and more. Don't miss out on a chance to be part of something truly special. Your future awaits with Waterloo Schools. Apply now and unlock your next career opportunity. Visit waterlooschools.org today. Your future awaits with Waterloo Schools, where passion meets purpose.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Get insights into the sports betting market with VSiN's betting splits. See where the money is and keep updated on how the market is reacting. Only at VSIN.com. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Iowa State Cyclones are on to the Sweet 16, where they'll take on the Illinois Fighting Illini for a chance at the Elite Eight. They head into their Sweet 16 matchup as the favorites at 1.5. The over-under for the game is 146.5 points. The 2024 MLB regular season begins on Thursday. The LA Dodgers are currently the favorites to win the World Series at +320, followed by the Atlanta Braves at +450, and then the Astros at +700 to round out the top three. Aaron Judge, Pete Alonso, and Matt Olson are +300 to hit 50-plus home runs this season. With your VSiN Action Update, I'm Ron Culver on 1650 The Fan.
Meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Cloudy tonight with a chance of flurries. Lows level off around 22. Northwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. High of 39 tomorrow. Partly cloudy tomorrow night. Lows around 22. Mainly sunny skies Thursday with daytime highs approaching 50. 61, slight chance for showers Friday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, 28.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Driving, got a backfire to top jumper and hit it, and that will do it. It will count, but Iowa State wins it over Washington State, 67-56. And how sweet it is, the Cyclones are headed to another Sweet 16. Their second under T.J. Altzelberger, their seventh overall. And T.J. becomes the first Iowa State coach to take two teams to the Sweet 16. Boston, here we come. Cyclones win it by 11.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan, and we're pleased now to be joined by the play-by-play voice, John Walters, of your Iowa State men's basketball team. What a start it's been in the NCAA tournament since we last caught up with John a week ago. The Iowa State Cyclones, of course, with a first-round win over South Dakota State last Thursday, and then on Saturday night, grinded out a 67-56 second-round win over Washington State. Did so over there at Hilton West. And I think, John, before we dig in on each of these games, of course, thanks so much for being here as always. Take us inside the arena in Omaha. Was it indeed Hilton West like everybody was anticipating?
Yeah, it really was. Now, the first night there were a lot of Drake fans and South Dakota State fans there as well, but it was really dominated by Iowa State fans. And then the second night, once Drake and South Dakota State were eliminated, it was probably 90% Iowa State fans. So it very much felt like, the advantage you have down in Kansas City at the Big 12 tournament. And, you know, it was really cool. It was really special, very, very loud in there. And it was awesome, man. It was just a great, great environment for college basketball.
I know that the second round win on Saturday night against Washington State is what's really, you know, burning to people's brains right now. But let's go back to last Thursday's first round win, 82-65 over South Dakota State. And I think with respect to both teams, John, that game a little closer than what the final score would indicate. Iowa State comes out, does exactly what they want to do. They get some live ball turnovers. They punch South Dakota State in the mouth and get out to a big early lead. Credit the Jackrabbits. I mean, they were lacking in athleticism and size, but they were able to hang tough in that game. I think for as many positives that happened with Iowa State, I came away very impressed with South Dakota State.
Yeah, I did too. And Eric Henderson does a tremendous job with that program. They are a team in the true sense of the word. They really share the basketball. I love the way they play. And so I was very impressed with them as well, and especially given the fact that Iowa State made its first nine shots from the floor, which, you know, when you think back to the Pittsburgh game, Iowa State's last NCAA tournament experience, I don't know if they ever even got to nine made shots. It might have been 13 or 14,
yeah.
But, you know, after that experience a year ago to score 41, to double that and score 82, but especially just to start 9 for 9 from the floor and really feel great about things. And yet, at halftime, it was only a 7-point game, so hats off to Endo and South Dakota State for really hanging in there. And then I thought Iowa State was able to do a few more of the things they really wanted to do early in the second half and get that lead stretched out a little bit. A little bit of foul trouble hurt South Dakota State, too. But it was a good win, a very good win. And, yeah, absolutely, South Dakota State represented very well. But Iowa State did what they had to do and got the comfortable win in the end. So that was a great way to advance.
And, John, one of the positives that still really front of mind for me coming out of that first round win over the Jackrabbits was Milan Momcilovic with 19 points. We had been talking about how important it would be for Milan to kind of, you know, refine his A game. And he had still contributed, maybe even when his shot wasn't falling at the rate that he would have liked it to. But, man, what a game for him. And it seems like, you know, when now knowing the result of the second round game as well, he's really demonstrated that he's such one of the most impactful freshmen in the country.
Yeah, without a doubt. And he definitely, when you say the word impact, he makes a big impact on Iowa State's offense when he's making shots, because it really stretches the floor and forces teams to come out and defend him, which means that, you know, the floor is opened up for Keyshawn Gilbert and Taman Lipsey to do what they do best, which is drive. And Curtis Jones, too, is very good at getting into the paint. So Nealon's a critical part of that. And, yeah, I thought he played very, very well. Really, he has the whole postseason. And, I mean, there's several guys on this Iowa State roster with Taman Lipsey, Keyshawn Gilbert, Milan Momcilovic, Hassan Ward, Curtis Jones, that have all, when you look at their postseason numbers, starting with the Big 12 tournament into the NCAA tournament, over those five games, their numbers are tremendous. And Milan is certainly a big, big part of that. So, yeah, getting him going really does make Iowa State a much more dangerous team.
And another thing we had talked about when it came to Iowa State's chances in the NCAA tournament, the importance of great guard play, and they've gotten that so far as well. And specific to the South Dakota State win, 32 points and 12 assists combined from Taman Lipsey and Keyshawn Gilbert. I go back to that Big 12 tournament and how Keyshawn Gilbert seemed to kind of, you know, hit overdrive, basically. And Taman's maybe been a little steadier throughout the season if we're going over those two with a fine-tooth comb. But when Keyshawn caught a heater in Kansas City, John, man, I was like, this could be really important, and it sure looks like so far it has been.
Yeah, and I mean, he's been good all year, but you do live with some of the ups and the downs with him, and that's okay. I mean, he plays so hard and with so much passion. He's going to make some mistakes, but that's okay. I mean, I can remember how Larry Eustace used to talk about Jamal Tinsley and say, look, he's going to throw one off somebody's forehead in the third row, but you got to live with that with him, because he's also going to make some unbelievable plays to set up his teammates, and that's the way Keyshawn is too. And you're right, Taman is a little bit more steady. And Taman, wow, I mean, in these five games postseason, 27 assists, 4 turnovers, so he's been really dynamic. And the combination of those guys really looking like they have the bounce back in their step, and Curtis Jones continuing to do what he's been doing. You know, it's now 17 of the last 19 games in double digits for him. Yeah, good guards are absolutely critical this time of year, and Iowa State's been getting very good guard play for sure.
Iowa State men's basketball play-by-play voice John Walters, our guest right now on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. The Cyclones back in action in the Sweet 16 on Thursday night. They'll take on 10th-ranked Illinois. It's going to be a 9:09 tip. That'll be an 8 o'clock pregame here on The Fan. And we'll talk about that matchup with John in just a little bit. But, John, we got to talk about Saturday night's big win. You know, you mentioned last year the game against Pittsburgh. It wasn't quite to that level, but I think maybe that was popping up in some Cyclone fans' memory banks, given how much the offense struggled. In the first 20 minutes, they ended up going 9-for-29, I think it was, I got here in that first half. It wasn't pretty, and they just dug in defensively. They were able to go into halftime tied somehow at 27, and then the offense came around in the second half. It's the kind of win where, you know, TJ's not going to show his cards, I would imagine. But, man, that's got to make him feel good about how his team won that game when they didn't have their great stuff for 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's what's great about this team, is that they don't panic when they get in those situations. They trust their defense will keep them in the game. And you're right, you know, after starting the game against South Dakota State 9-for-9, Iowa State starts the game against Washington State 1-for-13. And, yeah, you're having a few shots, moments in your head of that Pittsburgh game. But you know what? These guys didn't allow the deficit to get to more than 8 points. They hung in there with their defense. And then sooner or later, you knew something was going to start falling. And from the point where they were 1-for-13 from the floor, they were 50%, you know, from the floor the rest of the first half, 50% overall for the rest of the game, 22-of-44. So once they settled in, they were just fine. And Washington State has got a lot of length. They're a very good defensive team. They cause a lot of problems defensively for you. But Iowa State dealt with that, I thought, very well. And if they thought they saw a lot of length against Washington State, wait till they see Illinois and Connecticut, if it gets to them, because those teams have great length, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this was good for these guys. I said to Eric on the air and off that I think it was really good for Iowa State to have a game like that. You know, they had kind of that comfortable, got out to the big lead against South Dakota State, were able to kind of just coast in game in game one. But I think they needed that game where, hey, they had to rally to tie it at halftime. They had to, you know, fight through some tough times in that game with Washington State. I think that's really good for these guys going forward, because that's what more NCAA tournament games are going to be like. And so I think that game really helped Iowa State. And, you know, they really did a good job defensively in the second half on Jalen Wells, who had a huge 16 points. Keyshawn really tightened the screws on him defensively in the second half and did a great job. Even though Keyshawn had a tough shooting night, 3-for-14 from the floor, he did a great job defensively on Wells in the second half, and that was a critical part of Iowa State kind of pulling away. And I mentioned how well Taman Lipsey's been playing. He was great in that game as well.
Yeah, he really was. Just looking at the small sample of these two tournament games, John, and obviously Curtis Jones has been a big part of it, but Iowa State's bench play, I would say, has been really good all season, and it doesn't always require the bench providing offensive production. Their ability to create live ball turnovers, you know, and maybe the hockey assists, not just the assist when it comes to scoring off of those. But the scoring production's been there as well. 22.5 bench points through these first two games. It's one of those things where if you're an opposing coach, you're trying to find a way to get some sort of advantage. Man, there's just more positive boxes being checked at the perfect time of the year right now. I mean, it's got to be a nightmare trying to prepare for this team.
I completely agree, and I think I failed to mention Hassan Ward earlier in that list of guys that's played unbelievably well in the postseason, and I think he's like 19-for-22 now from the floor in postseason games, and he really does give Iowa State a spark on off the bench, not only offensively, but even more so defensively with his athleticism and his ability to disrupt things. And then DeMarion Watson, we've seen him have his moments offensively, but he too is more of a defensive guy. And when Washington State went to Winsu, their backup point guard, who's 6'7", in those situations, we saw T.J. Altzelberger put DeMarion Watson in there, and I thought he did a really good job distracting Winsu and kind of getting him out of what he wanted to do. And so I was very impressed with Iowa State's bench in those games. It continues to be a plus. And, you know, when you consider that Jackson Pavelski is hardly even playing in Omaha Blue, I mean, Iowa State could go even deeper, but their front eight, their first eight guys are playing at a super high level. And when TJ goes to his bench, the team doesn't necessarily drop off. Sometimes they get better. And I think that's a big priority with him, is to don't allow the play to drop off when you guys get in there, and they don't.
As I mentioned earlier, John, the Illinois Fighting Illini up next in the Sweet 16 Thursday night, 8 o'clock pregame here on The Fan. Tip-off 9 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is a team in Illinois, John, that I watched a few times this season. They're a really good team. They weren't so good to where they were really able to contend with Purdue for a Big Ten championship. At least, you know, they were mathematically close, but you put them on the eye test, they weren't there. Then again, they're in the Sweet 16 for a reason. Take us inside the matchup as you look at it. I'm sure you've got a lot more research that you're going to do yet before the pregame show on Thursday night. But, you know, from what you see, what you've heard, what do you know about these two teams coming together on Thursday night?
Well, it's a really interesting dynamic because you have the number one KenPom offensive team in the nation in Illinois, and what went into the tournament is the number one defensive team in the nation in Iowa State. And I think they've since, well, actually after last night, with the way Houston struggled offensively, Iowa State probably is back to number one on KenPom defensively. But, yeah, the number one offense, the number one defense going head-to-head. And Illinois is an interesting team because they don't have a true point guard. Now, it hasn't killed them because their turnover numbers are very low. But Marcus Damask, the transfer from Southern Illinois, is kind of their de facto point guard. That's not his natural position, but he's the guy who initiates their offense. At 6'6", great scorer, scored over 2,000 points in his collegiate career. Tremendous player, reminds me a lot of A.J. Green. But he's not a point guard. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see if Iowa State can create some turnovers, get Illinois out of their comfort zone. They've got that really lengthy backcourt, and they really do depend on their backcourt with Damask and Terrence Shannon, who's been on an absolute roll. He is averaging about 32, 33 points a game over the last eight. He's probably been the best offensive player in the country over that stretch. And so they're really dependent on those two guys, but they love to get out and run. They're really good in transition. So Iowa State's transition defense has to be outstanding in this game. They themselves have to take great care of the basketball. Not that Illinois typically forces a lot of turnovers, but when they do, they're great at getting out and running and taking advantage of that. So Iowa State has to have great transition defense. They have to be really good with ball pressure, of just getting Illinois uncomfortable and getting them out of what they like to do. Because when they get in an offensive rhythm, they're about the best offensive team in the country. So I think it'll be an interesting battle of wits in this game. And Brad Underwood, an excellent coach who spent time in the Big 12 at Oklahoma State, he's had a great, great season with that team. So both teams are on a roll, having won their conference tournaments. I think it'll be a great matchup.
John, before I let you go, obviously a lot of work, and that's a great thing this time of year, but hopefully you were able to watch some of the tournament outside of Iowa State. I know I think I've really liked watching Creighton in this NC State run. That's what's really jumped off the page to me outside of Iowa State and watching Drake.
Yeah, you don't have that big Cinderella story this year. I mean, I guess North Carolina State qualifies as that, especially having won five games in 5 days to win the ACC tournament. But, yeah, I love watching Creighton always. I'm a big Greg McDermott guy. I just really like him. And their team is playing really well and came so close to making the Final Four last year. I'll tell you what, the game between Houston and Texas A&M was unbelievable. A lot like that Iowa State women's game against Stanford, where you're just edge of your seat for 45 minutes and just two teams just gutting it out. And, you know, by the end of that game, Kelvin Sampson had a walk-on in there that had to shoot a critical free throw by the name of Elvin, and I'm not talking Elvin Hayes either for Houston. And man, what a great, great win for Houston to win that thing in overtime against A&M. So I'm glad that the Big 12 did get two into the Sweet 16, and I think two teams that still have a great chance to keep advancing. So, but yeah, I'm enjoying the entire tournament, absolutely. Connecticut is super impressive to watch. San Diego State, very impressive too. So, you know, if Iowa State can somehow get past Illinois, they're going to face one of those two teams that played in the national championship game a year ago. So it doesn't exactly get easier, but it is sure fun to be a part of it.
And shame on me, John, for not having mentioned Bill Finley and the Iowa State women. That was a game last night. I was like, oh, man, that's a late tip time on a Sunday. I was like, will I be able to stay awake for this one? I was on the edge of my seat, and I couldn't even get to sleep afterwards. I think it was after 1 a.m. when I finally got wound down and fell asleep.
Yeah, that's how good that game was. It really was. I mean, even Scott Van Pelt was going nuts on it on SportsCenter after the game. And, I mean, Emily Ryan and Addie Brown, the grit that those two showed. I mean, just it was such a great game. And, unfortunately, Iowa State didn't quite pull it out. But what a season for Coach Finley and his team. And the future for them is extraordinarily bright.
John, thanks so much for your time. We'll look forward to your call on Thursday night in the Sweet 16 against Illinois. Take care.
All right, thanks for having me, Cole.
John Walters, kind enough to join us on Cole & Company. And once again, you'll hear that Iowa State Sweet 16 game against Illinois Thursday night here on the Fan. Pregame coverage at 8, tip off a little after 9 o'clock. We'll have that Cubs-Rangers season opener up until 8, as I told you at the top of the show, and the entirety of that Cubs-Rangers game will be available on Thursday on Cruisin' KCFI. All right, let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports during the break. We come back on the other side. Bunch of audio to get to. Lisa Bluter, Caitlin Clark, TJ Altzberger, and more. We'll see what all we can get in. That's next right here on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz says he was not surprised offensive lineman Caden Proctor left the team after only 2 months on campus. Proctor transferred to Iowa after playing his freshman season at Alabama. The former Southeast Polk star apparently had a change of heart after spring break.
You don't want a player on your football team in the program that doesn't want to be here, so that's always kind of been our feeling, and we certainly... you know, in my mind at least, it's best for both parties to probably go separate ways at that point.
Ferentz is not sure Proctor is still enrolled in classes and if he'll need to finish out the semester. The Hawkeyes enter their second week of spring practice. Former UNI athletic director Troy Dannon was introduced as the new AD at Nebraska. Dannon spent the past 6 months at the University of Washington. The Iowa native also had a stint as the head of the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union. Todd Kim, Radio Iowa Sports.
Whether taking on large commercial landscapes or your own backyard, let Steel help with your pursuit of the perfect cut. Introducing Steel zero-turn mowers for homeowners and pros. With a wide range of features and options, like our advanced four-wheel suspension system and 0% financing available, it's time to let the pursuit begin. Real Steel. Find yours at steelusa.com/zero-turn. Available at select dealers. Financing available on qualifying purchases and subject to credit approval. See dealer for details.
Imagine someone hiding a gambling problem. How exhausting it must be, seeing the losses pile up and feeling powerless to control it. Now imagine it's someone you love, your spouse, your child, your friend. Talk to them to understand where they're coming from. Because anyone can have a gambling problem. They just need help getting their life back. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF to get help for them and you.
Menards is your destination for a huge selection of concrete landscaping blocks in stock. There's no limit to what you can create. Find edgers to accent your flower beds, retaining wall blocks to hold back soil, and pavers to build your dream patio. All ready to take home today. Plus, use our landscape design program to get fast, free estimates on your project. Hurry in. Edger blocks are on sale through March 31st.
Save big money at Menards.
Get ready to turn up the fun in your home entertainment experience with Maximum Sight and Sound. For over 50 years, they've been your go-to experts in all things audio and visual. With jaw-dropping home theaters and security products, they've got you covered. Come on down to Maximum Sight and Sound, 4017 University Avenue, Waterloo. Call them, 234-0344. Or online, MaximumSightAndSound.com. Maximum Sight and Sound, where the fun never ends.
With Progressive Snapshot, you could save on auto insurance rates by driving safely, which is great because you're rarely rewarded for just being you. Ever get rewarded for being left-handed? No. You get to use weird scissors. Your reward for being a Capricorn? Cold birthdays that conflict with the holidays. And your reward for quickly responding to every work email? More emails. But with Snapshot, even left-handed Capricorns with proper email etiquette could get rewarded for good driving. So download the Progressive app today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states or from all agents.
Ulta Beauty's semi-annual beauty event is happening now. Unleash your love for beauty with 50% off daily beauty steals on hair, skin, makeup, and fragrance. Shop your favorite brands like Tarte and Fenty Beauty by Rihanna. Plus, grab perfect hair care pairs from brands like Redken and Olaplex. And check out new arrivals from brands like Charlotte Tilbury and Dyson. Shop the Ulta Beauty semi-annual beauty event online, in-store, or try pickup today. Now through March 28th. Ulta Beauty, the possibilities are beautiful. Conditions apply.
On behalf of the Northeast Iowa Food Bank, I'm Abby Turpin, asking you to join the new community fundraising initiative, Team NEIFB. With a $15 monthly donation, your support helps the food bank to deliver up to 60 meals to our neighbors facing food insecurity. Please join the movement now. Visit NEIFB.org/TeamNEIFB. Let's unite as a community and nourish futures together. Join Team NEIFB today.
Hey, who wants to have some fun?
Cole and Company with Colbert.
I do.
On 1650 The Fan.
Now, you just saying you want to have fun, or do you really want to have fun?
Here's a falter, free throw line, Lane, left-handed layup, window, count it, and she's fouled. Hawks by two.
That was the only field goal for Lisa Bluter's Hawkeyes in the fourth quarter last night. It was the free throw line that made the difference. And that highlight, that's Rob Brooks on the Hawkeye Radio Network. The Hawkeyes won despite shooting only 36% and making 5 of 22 from three-point range.
I really do think that was one of the better defensive teams we've seen all year. This might have been our lowest field goal percentage that we've ever won a game with. We found a way to win in a different way, and we won with our defense tonight.
Of course, that's Iowa coach Lisa Bluter. Iowa averages more than 92 points per game, but was forced to grind it out last night in that win over the Mountaineers.
You know, that's typically not our style, but we found a way. And that's, I'm so proud of this team for being able to divert from what, you know, usually works for us and find a different way to win. And so I am extremely proud of our women for keeping their composure in that situation. It certainly helped playing with a terrific home crowd.
Caitlin Clark finished with 32 points as the Hawkeyes had to battle through yet another second round nail biter.
To me, this is like one of the hardest rounds in the NCAA tournament. Everybody's really good. You're expected to win. You're on your home court. We have all the pressure in the world. They have absolutely nothing to lose to come in here and upset us. And you know, that happened my sophomore year. Last year, we were in a game that was even closer than this one.
Clark finished with 5 3-pointers, but she was the only Hawkeye that made a shot from beyond the arc.
Honestly, we just didn't shoot the ball very well. We just didn't make shots that we normally make. We didn't shoot it too great from the 3-point line, but I think that should give us a lot of motivation. You know, West Virginia is, you know, a really good basketball team, and we found a way to win. We changed up our defenses. We got big rebounds when it mattered. We made big free throws. So I think that's the biggest thing, is there's a lot of positive to take away from this when maybe we didn't even play our best basketball or didn't look as pretty. I think that's more fulfilling of a win for us than, you know, going out there and winning by 30 points.
Last night was the final game in Carver Hawkeye Arena for Clark and the other Iowa seniors.
You know, these people and these fans show up, and they have shown up, and they will continue to show up. They understand how good our sport is. They understand where the sport's going. But they've, you know, shared in a lot of really special memories for myself and a journey that, you know, I've changed a lot as a person and as a basketball player over the course of my last 4 years. And they've been a big part of that, too. So I think the biggest thing is just thank you. I'm forever grateful. And I hope there's a lot of times where I can come back and be in the crowd at sold out Carver Hawkeye Arena cheering for, you know, young girls that, you know, want to be like us.
Iowa will now take on Colorado in Albany on Saturday in the Sweet 16. All right, we go to Des Moines, where after leading Drake to 6 seasons of 20 wins or more, Darren DeVries took a job at West Virginia. The Bulldogs won 2 straight Missouri Valley Conference tournament titles and played in the NCAA tournament 3 times in the past 4 seasons. Here is Drake Athletic Director Brian Harden.
We'll move forward here and you know, be grateful for the time that we had, and that's with him, but also pivot knowing that we find ourselves in a much better spot here today than we have really at any point in our program's history.
Harden says he was first contacted by West Virginia AD Ren Baker the day after the Bulldogs lost to Washington State in the NCAA tournament.
Like I've done for a lot of our other employees, coaches or otherwise, you know, if they've done a good job here, then I'll be honest with them and tell them to kind of what I see as their strong suits, maybe some areas that could use some improvement. But yeah, Darren deserved an opportunity to talk with Ren about his position, and I'm not surprised that Ren has offered him this opportunity.
The Bulldogs have a talented young roster. However, a few have entered the transfer portal. Harden says his first priority now is to find the right coach.
You know, the important thing is that we get the right person in here. You know, we need to move quickly, but I don't want to hurry so fast that we end up hiring the wrong person. So we'll look to get going on this very soon, and because we know that it has a pretty significant impact on the management of our roster.
Harden would not save. Two-time Missouri Valley Player of the Year Tucker DeVries will follow his father Darren to West Virginia, despite numerous reports that he will. Harden says the Bulldog program is in a great place because of what Darren DeVries did.
The fact that we've been to three tournaments in the last 4 years, I think, shows that you can have success here. I think the level of interest from our community, from our fan base, from our alumni, is at a different point now than it ever has been in our history. So I am very bullish on what the future of the Bulldogs can look like.
Yeah, I'm really bullish as well, and I think that they're going to be able to get a really good coach, whether it's promoting Marty Richter. If he doesn't follow Coach DeVries to West Virginia, J.R. Blount, who's on T.J. Altzelberger's staff at Iowa State, would be a great candidate, great coach. He was at Drake formerly when Nico Medved was there on his staff. And then I think it's Ben McCollum, is it, at Northwest Missouri State. That's a guy who needs an opportunity to go D1 like Josh Schertz got at Indiana State a few years ago and has proven to be a great hire. So we got to take this final timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Omar Reis with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The AFC coaches got together for their annual breakfast at the league meeting in Orlando Monday, spilling a lot of tea in the process, starting in Pittsburgh, where Mike Tomlin reiterated Monday that while Russell Wilson is in, quote, pole position to win the starting quarterback job, Justin Fields will get ample opportunity to show what he can do as well. Elsewhere, Broncos head coach Sean Payton was asked if Denver could move up in the draft to grab a quarterback. Payton called that scenario, quote, realistic. The Jets said Monday they expect Aaron Rodgers to be a full participant at their spring practices next month and in May as he recovers from Achilles surgery, while the Bengals say Joe Burrow has had no setbacks since his season-ending wrist injury and could resume throwing soon. And the hip drop tackle is no more. NFL owners voted to make the controversial move where a defender drops to the ground to drag a ball carrier down illegal due to its increased injury risk. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
The madness of March has arrived, which means Bracket Attack is back on the fan. 2024 Bracket Attack is presented by Maximum Sight and Sound and brought to you in part by Deary Brothers Collision Center, Ted's Home and Hardware, Marco's Pizza, Karen's Print Right, Thompson Shoes, Steamboat Gardens, and Jerry Rolling Motors. Thanks to all our great sponsors, and thanks to you for listening to the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 102.3 and 1650 The Fan.
Save big money and transform your home with new appliances now at Menards. We offer the lowest prices and the largest in-stock appliance selection ready to take home today. Pick up energy-efficient appliances from Criterion. Criterion appliances are ready when you are and are designed to last and save you money. Hurry in to visit our appliance showroom and upgrade today or check out all of our appliance options on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The NFL has faced immense scrutiny for its decisions to fine players and its officiating. The league has defended its decision by pointing to player safety. In fairness to them, they backed up their new goal this Monday. The league has officially approved a rule to ban the swivel hip drop tackle, the play that took out Ravens star tight end Mark Andrews last season. As fans, watching defenders' jobs become harder and harder by the year is somewhat infuriating. Long gone are the days when Jack Tatum, Ronnie Lott, and Dick Butkus terrorized offenses. But in a violent sport, we need to come to a relative understanding. Pro leagues are starting to prioritize player safety. The NBA evolved from the bad boy Pistons to a wide-open, much safer league. Major League Baseball has outlawed collisions at the plate. It's not as much fun as it used to be, but in a physically demanding sport, the rule changes were a necessity. And if that's the result of a few questionable calls each week, that's going to be the trade-off we're going to have to accept. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But everything else costs more. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system that brings accounting, financial management, inventory, HR onto one platform. It reduces IT costs, and over 37,000 companies have already made the move. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering one-of-a-kind flexible financial programs. Head to netsuite.com/Patrick. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated General Grabber ATX. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Hi, this is Dan Patrick, and you're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert weekday afternoons from 5 till 6, right here on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back for a final time on this Tuesday. Colbert in the Circus Sports Studio. Two more sleeps till Cubs baseball. Got to thank Iowa State men's basketball play-by-play voice John Walters for joining today's show. Always a great conversation with John. Today, no different. If you missed any of it, podcast will be available in mere minutes at 1650thefan.com. All right, that's a wrap for a Tuesday. Have a great night, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.